Oh, it is fantastic to be here. So we're friends. I've been here many times, you know that. I think Todd's an extraordinary talent, and he's going on to even more extraordinary things. And I'll be around to fill in and do whatever on KTTH, as usual. But I thought I'd tell you a few things about me. Not because I wanted to be self-indulgent, but because I really did want to give you an insight and to let you know who I am. So I really do hate talking about myself, so I actually had to write this down. Seriously. Okay, I'm a PNW girl, UW grad. I grew up in Portland. Came up a lot during my youth because my grandma had a farm. My grandma and great-grandma had a farm in Bothell, which is now a housing development. I am the adult in the room. That's what I call myself. That is the name of my podcast. And I generally am older than most people. Hey, by the way, subscribe to my podcast. So I've done radio and TV in two of the three West Coast states, done national TV, done national writing stuff. I write for a well-regarded opinion and news online presence called PJ Media, and I absolutely love it. They were one of the early adopters of, you know, being around blogging. Now it's a full-blown news website, commentary website. And so I get to write over there. I'm married. I might be your mom. I could be your best friend. I'll do PC, but I prefer Mac. I still shoot film because it's better than digital. And don't try to change my mind about that unless you can find me an affordable DSLR that's as good as my Nikon. And then I might listen to you. And if you can find that, let me know. Portra is the best film unless I'm shooting black and white. My guilty pleasure is Real Housewives. Don't hate me. Beverly Hills, Atlanta, and Potomac are the best of the franchises unless another one of those women get into some legal problems like the guys in Salt Lake City, and then I'm all over it. Two and a Half Men, Ted Lasso, The Wire, or Bosch are the best written TV shows unless Michael Conley writes something else, which he has. I still haven't checked to see if he's dead or not, but he's awesome. Yellowstone is a great show. It's like Falcon Crest with much better surroundings and salty language. And I love that show. But if it goes woke, I'm out. I love audiobooks so much that I started a company to produce them. And I love spy thrillers. And I love Vince Flynn. May he rest in peace. Kyle Mills, the guy who took over his franchise. Brad Thor, my author, John D. Trudell, Ben Coase. So good. Oh, it's carbine, not carbine. At least I think it is. I've asked a lot of my gun friends. They say it's carbine, and my right hand hurts, and I'm looking for a decent revolver or 9mm, but I will not, I promise you, loan it to Alec Baldwin. My Kyle Rittenhouse was innocent. Duh. I'm an imperfect Christian. That's obviously true. I try not to swear, and I love gin, unless there's a good Oregon Pinot Noir or grapes, wine made with grapes grown on the eastern side of the mountains in the state of Washington. There are only gin martinis. That's because my dad said so. Toilet paper goes over the top. Don't even try to argue with me. Viva paper towels are the best paper towels. Am I right? Yes, I am. Unless you avail yourself of the bag of rags at Home Depot, and then you can just recycle those rags all you want. If you use packing tape, then roll over a small part of the end so that the next guy can find the end. Don't be a jerk. Vacuuming a big house is more work than mowing a small lawn. Mind your own business unless you're a kid. Don't be a snitch unless you're a kid. Wear a mask if you want to, but just leave me alone. If you're vaccinated, good for you. I'm not going to hold you a parade. Serranos are better than jalapenos. There's no contest. I like the law, but never went to law school. But I did what my mentors told me to do. I studied everything and went into media. Never went to J school. I think that was an advantage. I write, broadcast, always look for my fifth listener, and I hope that's you. Now, we need to open this state back up, and we need to take it away from these bastards. And Antifa, speaking of bastards, Antifa BLM rioters are horrible people. They're not virtuous. They're fatuous. They're parodies of themselves, except they're also dangerous, so never take them lightly. And they're not honorable people. I don't care what they tell you. And I don't care what their name says. I don't have to read their name to know what they do is wrong. I hate lying. I'm not going to lie to you. That's why I'm not lying to you. And if I'm mistaken, I'll tell you if you call me on it, but you have to bring the receipts in order to do that. So that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing. So we've got news today, and I led with it last hour, and I want you to know about this because in the 7 o'clock hour, generally that's the most listened to hour of most talk shows in the morning. And here we are. The COVID heart story. COVID vitamin D story. Why are we not hearing more about this? Now, check this out. We've got, I want to make sure I get this right. Here we go. Got it right here. The Cardiology Advisor. This is a publication. And the American Heart Association. Finally, we have the American Heart Association allowing peer-reviewed science, the sciencey science that we were told didn't exist about heart issues and COVID mRNA shots. We were told that didn't happen. And we kept hearing these anecdotes about that. And, you know, they'd say, well, the evidence of anecdotes is that anecdotes are out, not evidence, or whatever that turn of phrase is that I just botched. Doesn't matter. They just dismissed it out of hand. And so here we have a scientific paper. Allow me to read here. The risk of developing acute coronary syndrome, ACS, significantly increased in patients after receiving mRNA COVID-19 shots, according to a report presented at the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions 2021 from November 13th to the 15th in 2021. Has that been ballyhooed anywhere? Has Joe Biden talked about that? Has Dr. Fauci talked about that? No, not that I'm aware of. I've been kind of looking around. It's surprising that anyone actually allowed this information to get out. I mean, after all, there are many things that the woke crowd and their paymasters don't want you to hear about. This might be one of them because people will say, you know, there's a reason that there is some vaccination hesitancy. I'm not sure I want to get the mRNA shot. And now there's another reason. If you have, remember the guy at the UW Medical School? And he's in there. He wants to get he was going to be in for a heart transplant. And he goes, I can't have an mRNA shot because I got heart issues. And they said, no, you will not be able to have a transplant in our hospital. And then they sniffed. And they said, you cannot be treated in our hospital unless you get one of those shots. And he goes, I don't think this is going to be good for me. Remember that guy? I don't know how he's doing now, but I do know one thing. He was right. He was afraid to have it because he felt like there'd been so many anecdotes and reports to the VAERS system about the heart-related issues of the shot that he said, I just don't think that's a great idea. And they said, well, sorry. Now, that guy was right. Remember that guy? He was right. He was right. Guys at UW, wrong. Wrong. The study author concluded that the mRNA vaccines dramatically increased inflammation on the endothelium and T-cell infiltration of cardiac muscle and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination. And they don't know the length of the problems. But anything that causes a problem with your heart? I don't know. It doesn't sound good to me. Am I right? I mean, seems reasonable not to be concerned about it. As a result, 5-year ACW pulse score increased from 11 to 25% by the time the report was published. Changes had persisted for 2.5 months. That's changes in your heart issues that you get from the mRNA injection. You know what? This is hour two, right? As you know. And the thing is, I'm gonna bring this back next hour because everybody needs to hear this. Oh, and the vitamin D story too. Coming up in just a few minutes, actor Adam Baldwin. We're going to talk about Alec Baldwin's interview last night. Did anybody suffer through that insufferable blowhard? Well, if you did, or if you didn't, you will be rewarded, believe me, in just a few minutes. Much more to come. Victoria Taft on KTTH. Let's check traffic. All right. So Germany has put major restrictions on the unvaccinated because that's where we're going in this country. It's true. That's what they want to do. They being the people who are in over us. We're just the little people. They're the big people. And they're the scolds. I know people who shake a reproving forefinger at you if you say you haven't been vaccinated or how dare they not wear a mask? How dare they not wear a mask? Did you see that Joe Biden yesterday was naming off all of his different fiats that he's going to do to stop COVID, which hasn't been done because I don't think you can. But he, of course, extended his mask mandates on transportation and his beloved Amtrak that he never actually traveled a million miles on. But be that as it may. And he also didn't go to the 6-day war. Sorry. I mean, he's just, it's every day. It's another lie out of his mouth or misremembered memory. How's that? I mean, I do that. Although I have to say, I probably would not mistake being at the 6-day war with Golda Meir. Just saying, I don't think so. I don't think I would have made that mistake. But in Germany, they are now the next first world country to engage in tyranny. And, you know, we do have those quarantine hotels around in the state of Washington. You don't think that they won't put those to use, will you? Not just from people who came over the border and who are compromised or homeless people who have COVID. That's not the only people that they want to put in those things. And in Germany, they have put major restrictions on the unvaccinated. I read here from the BBC. And Germany's national and regional leaders have agreed to bar unvaccinated people from much of public life because of COVID. Now, remember, all of the variants have escaped around the initial COVID vaccine. So the fully vaccinated people, that's two shots, according to Dr. Fauci, says two shots will do it. You know, I will say, my Dr. Fauci sounds an awful lot like my old imitation of Jack Buck. I don't know. Razor blades, gargling, so whatever. So here we have only those who have been vaccinated or recently recovered from COVID will be allowed in restaurants, cinemas, leisure facilities, and many shops. Did you spot the thing that differentiates the German response from the U.S. response? That's correct. They actually assume that people who have been recently recovered from COVID actually have natural immunity because it's true. Omicron, Delta variant, all of these people have had these variants of the COVID have also been folks who have gotten reinfected through the Omicron and the Delta. I mean, you've got people and people vaccinated and unvaccinated people are getting COVID again, getting COVID for the first time. People who have been vaccinated, who presumably have some sort of vaccination that will inoculate them from the potential of getting COVID, it's not working. It's not working. So to that end, the other day, I told you I would play this for you today. And it was the future, as only South Park can do. Because I have a feeling that we are going to continue to freak out every time there's a variant. Now, we were told this at the very initial stages of this pandemic, that this was going to happen. It will. You never vaccinate into a pandemic. Because why? Because you get all these variants sooner than later. And it then begins to not work very well, the vaccination, this thing, the shot they call the vaccination. So that doesn't work very well. And so it's going to go on and on and probably on into the future, hence our little fun with South Park.
Everyone, can I have your attention, please? We got results from the PNR scan of Dr. McCormick's remains, and we now know the cause of his death. Now we all need to stay calm. There is no reason to panic. But Kenny died of COVID. It's a new variant, the COVID Delta Plus Rewards Program variant. Everyone, please! We cannot panic!
South Park goes nuts. South Park goes nuts. Start going for the toilet paper, PPE. Yeah, so it kind of sounds, in a way, what we're going through, as they always do on South Park. They always ahead of the curve. And thing is that this is the way they're treating people who have been unvaccinated, if you will, in Germany and in some places. And let's say King County, for example. You are an outcast. You are an other.
Set up a perimeter. I want all exit points sealed. People of South Park, there is an outbreak of COVID in your community. You are being quarantined.
Hey, dude, I don't live here. I need to get home.
Nobody is going in or out. We have confirmation that one person in this community has never been vaccinated against COVID, so we must quarantine everyone.
One person? Well, who is it?
We are not allowed to say.
But if you tell us who the unvaccinated person is, we can have them vaccinated and then this will all be over.
We can't tell you who it is because, in case you forgot, it's the future, and we don't single out or ridicule anyone for their personal beliefs.
I hate the future.
In Germany, this is great. This is great. Unvaccinated people will be limited to meetings with their own household and two other people. Who's going to enforce that? In Germany, the 2G rule will be enforced at restaurants and cultural venues and non-essential things. Vaccinations should be made mandatory by February, the new chancellor of Germany says. You know, it's always really interesting when you think about it, and they call their leader the chancellor, and just conjures up images of that face that we're finding all over the metro buses all over. Have you heard about that? I'll tell you about that coming up. Okay, so when we come back, here's what I want to do. We're going to go over the Alec Baldwin interview last night, because Alec Baldwin actually admitted to doing something that resulted in the death of the cinematographer on his film, because he went to the, I don't know, Joe Biden School of Gun Safety or something. So we will talk with Adam Baldwin, no relation, about this. Adam Baldwin is an actor in Hollywood, and we're going to talk to him coming up after we check traffic and get a little news. You're listening to KTTH. I'm Victoria Taft. Here's the text line, 800-465-8770. 465-8770. I think I'm saying it right this time. I got the little note from Jason saying, you know, 770. It's the station. I know. I've heard it a million times. Do you think I said it right? Speaking of not doing things right, Alec Baldwin shot and killed the cinematographer on his film. And he says he didn't do it. He was holding a gun. The trigger somehow discharged. A bullet was somehow discharged. And she fell over and was soon declared dead. And he spent some time on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos last night saying that, you know, it was terrible, but I guess it was all her fault. And I've Adam Baldwin here on the line, a well-known actor, Full Metal Jacket, tough guy. And Adam, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you being here this morning.
Oh, glad to be here. Hope I can lend some clarity to this unfortunate tragedy.
Let me ask you, I'm going to play this and tell me if you think the same thing I think, which is he's blaming the cinematographer for what happened. Listen. No, I hope. Yeah. I'm pushing the buttons today. So.
Order. It swivels. And she says to me, hold the gun lower. Go to your right. Okay, right there. All right, do that. Now, throw it a little bit lower. And she's getting me to position the gun. Everything is in her direction. She's guiding me through how she wants me to hold the gun for this angle. And I draw the gun out and I find a mark. I draw the gun out and I find a cut. And what's really urgent is the gun wasn't meant to be fired in that angle.
So if you're shooting directly into the camera lens, you're not aiming.
I'm not shooting into the camera lens. I'm shooting just off.
Just off.
Right, in her direction. I'm holding the gun where she told me to hold it, which ended up being aimed right in below her armpit, was what I was told. I don't know. This was a completely incidental shot. An angle that may not have ended up in the film at all. But we kept doing this. So then I said to her, now in this scene, I'm going to cock the gun. And I said, do you want to see that? And she said, yes. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that?
Bang.
And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
Okay. Okay. Adam Baldwin, thank you so much for coming on. What did he do there?
Well, as he describes in the earlier portion of that program, it's a collaborative endeavor making movies. So he was collaborating with the cinematographer, Ms. Hutchins, while they were setting up the shot. So he was an equal player in that. It's not as if he had to do everything she told him under penalty of firing or reprimand. It's a collaborative effort, and he's the star of the show. So he was basically confessing in that clip that he discharged the weapon in a negligent manner, and the projectile went down the barrel and into her and through her and into the director as well. So I feel that that clip is a confession.
Well, I think you're right. And it's a confession, but it's also an attempt to blame shift in that whole thing. I mean, well, she told me to do that, so I just did it because she's the boss. It's like, what?
Well, sure, but that's not true. Again, he says in elsewhere in that program, it's a collaborative effort. He didn't have to do that.
Now,
he was collaborating to do that, and it's his responsibility. The weapon in his hand is his responsibility.
It is his responsibility. He's got a gun in his hand. Even George Clooney says, when you have a gun in your hand, it doesn't matter who's given it to you or given you assurances. You check the gun. Do you do that on set?
Every single time the weapon changes hands, whoever's holding it at the time checks it. Clears the weapon, makes sure that there are no live rounds, or there shouldn't be any live rounds there. Anyway, that's a separate matter, that there were live rounds on the set. That's a completely separate ancillary, I don't even know if it's a crime. It's certainly a violation of some sort of safety protocols, but that's a completely separate issue to safety, firearm safety. He should have checked the weapon when it was handed to him.
And when you are on set during a movie, Adam Baldwin, now let me just ask you this, because I just I was looking at IMDb and it says that you're sort of related to those guys, or are you?
As far as I know, I've only heard that it's many, many generations past. So there's no practical relation in my mind. It would be distant cousins by hundreds of years.
Oh, really? That's very interesting. That is very interesting. Okay, so on set, you've got to learn how to use guns. And obviously you did, clearly, for Full Metal Jacket and other roles.
You are required to.
By both
SAG and AFTRA. SAG-AFTRA requires anyone who is participating in firearms use on camera must go through a safety training program with the armorer. He said that I don't know if you have a clip of this, but he said that this was the first time he'd even heard the term armorer. That's a lot. That's a lie.
I did hear him say that, and I thought, what? It's usually just the prop guy. I think I might have that, but
that's
yeah,
a prop flat-out lie.
It's a prop master's fault. Here we have that clip, I think.
What I was taught by someone years ago was, as I said, if I took a gun and I popped a clip out of a gun, or I manipulated the chamber of a gun, they would take the gun away from me and redo it. The prop person said, don't do that, when I was young. And they'd say, one thing you would need to understand is we don't want the actor to be the last line of defense against a catastrophic breach of safety with the gun.
Is that true?
It may have been one instance of an armorer or prop master who was qualified to be an armorer told him that when he was young. But he's not young, and he hasn't been young for many years. He's been on sets for decades. So he's certainly learned since that one time that someone, quote unquote, told him that. And it just is, again, blame shifting. You're not supposed to mishandle the weapon and damage it. They call it dry firing when you click on the, you cock it and click it in a case of a single action weapon. You're not supposed to dry fire it, but you do it for safety reasons, and it's easily fixable. It may cost some money to redo the firing pin, which is a pain in the ass, and it costs some money, but you shouldn't do it over time, but you can do it, and I do it all the time whenever I'm handed a weapon. I'll dry fire just to show anyone in the vicinity that, see, click, 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 click. It's empty. Click, 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 click. See? Mm-hmm. Empty, empty.
Have you ever handled an antique gun like that?
Yeah, when we did Wyatt Earp.
Oh, sure.
And I've handled several different types of revolvers in my experience, and on Wyatt Earp, I had basically the same weapon. So I'm very familiar with this as a prop gun. I fired it in a depiction of the gunfight at the OK Corral. So I know exact, and we shot that just outside Santa Fe. We used that same ranch. I've been there. That and the Cook Ranch were used as locations for the Wyatt Earp when we shot that. So I know exactly what I'm talking about with this. I've been on camera with firearms. I've been on a show called Gunny Time that uses live ammunition. It's one of the few shows that actually uses live ammunition. So I'm as familiar with gun safety on a movie set or a television set as anybody in the business.
So when he says he cocked the hammer...
Yeah.
What was he saying there?
Well, he explained how he cross-drew the weapon from his strong hand is a right hand. He's a right-handed, so he was pulling it from his left side where he had the weapon holstered, which was common practice for cowboys back in the day, Western life, because it kept it out of your working area. You were working with other stuff, or your rifle hand, so you kept that away from your working side. But that's beside the point. He pulled it, he drew it, he aimed it, he pulled the hammer back and the hammer has four clicks when you pull the hammer back. Click, the first click is quarter cock, the second click is half cock, the third click is three quarter, and the final click is full cock. So each of those positions doesn't allow the hammer to drop on the round in the chamber, on the primer. The firing pin won't hit the primer when it's set in that cocked position, unless you depress the trigger.
What do you think happened? Has that ever happened to you where you just, you know, that fired the gun and didn't mean to?
No, I've never had a negligent discharge. I've never witnessed a negligent discharge in all my years on every single show. That's why safety protocols are so very important, and that's why they're drilled into every single act. They're required. You're required to take safety training when you're cast in a show like this. I'm positive this is what happened. He pulled the gun in a cross draw, his finger went into the trigger guard and onto the trigger itself. And while he was aiming it there, his finger was on the trigger and he cocked it back and let the hammer drop.
Whoa. I mean,
that's what he describes exactly that action. Just because he says his finger wasn't on the trigger, that doesn't mean that's true. How does he know his finger wasn't on the trigger? Where's the evidence of that? Oh, I didn't have my finger on. Well, then how did the hammer drop? Mm-hmm. Unless the weapon was defective in its cocking positions, in its what they call sears or the little catches in the cocking mechanism. And it's all part of the safety mechanism of the weapon. And he either was negligent in, well, he was clearly negligent in discharging the weapon. He was clearly negligent in aiming the weapon at someone. And he was clearly negligent in not knowing that the weapon was loaded. Those are all required. Those are all, he was required to know all of those things.
Adam Baldwin is a Hollywood actor. Obviously, you know his work. And he has handled this particular kind of weapon before on movie sets. And he's given us a few minutes of his time. And we have a few more things to go because I wanted to get your feel for what you think was accomplished during that George Stephanopoulos interview with Alec Baldwin. And I wanted to also find out why isn't he arrested yet? So we'll do that when we come back. We're listening right now to Adam Baldwin, and you're listening to KTTH. Victoria Taft, back in just a couple of minutes. Check traffic. You're listening to KTTH. I'm Victoria Taft. 800-465-8770 is our text line. Adam Baldwin, the actor, online with us now after the Alec Baldwin interview with George Stephanopoulos last night, in which he was a, in my estimation, a huge CYA. What were your thoughts overall on the interview?
Well, I would digress to the safety bulletin that was handed out on the set by the National Stunt and Safety Department of the Screen Actors Guild. It says that the use of firearms and other weapons may require special permits and or operator certifications. Anyone that will be using a weapon shall know all the operating features and safety devices. Weapons handler must meet with the cast and crew and inform them of the safety precautions. Anyone handling a weapon shall receive the proper training and know all operating features and safety devices. This is a black letter regulation in the industry. And Alec, as a 40-year veteran, a movie star, a television star, a producer, he knows this. And that's all based on law. The law supersedes those safety regulations. New Mexico state law concerning involuntary manslaughter, it says that it's the killing that occurs while the defendant is engaging in a lawful but dangerous act without exercising due caution and circumspection. Now, due caution and circumspection when it comes to a firearm is checking the weapon, clearing the weapon, making sure it doesn't have any live ammo in it, and not aiming it at anyone, mm-hmm. and not pulling the trigger or dropping the hammer on the cylinder.
And he did admit.
He did all of those things wrong, and he admitted to it.
Yes.
To Stephanopoulos.
He did. That was extraordinary. Were you shocked when he did that? When he actually talked about having his finger on the hammer and cocking it back, and then somehow just a miracle happened and the projectile came out of the gun.
He's in deep denial, and he can't claim ignorance of the law or the safety regulations because ignorance is no excuse.
Well, and that was an interesting question. I wanted to have you listen to this. I'm sure you were, I don't know, maybe you were yelling at your TV last night as I was when I heard him say this.
Your emotions are so clearly so right there on the surface. You felt shock. You felt anger. You felt sadness. Do you feel guilt?
No.
I feel that there is, I feel that someone is responsible for what happened, and I can't say who that is, but I know it's not me.
Every single time I'm handed a gun on the side, every time, Mark, they hand me a gun, I look at it, I open it, I show it to the person I'm pointing it to, we show it to the crew, every single take, you hand it back to the...
And that was George Clooney after that. Were you surprised to hear that, now I'm going to call him Adam Baldwin, Alec Baldwin.
Don't do that.
I know. That Alec Baldwin said he doesn't feel any guilt whatsoever?
Well, again, that's psychological denial. The thing that strikes me about that clip is that, first of all, George Clooney is right. He's absolutely correct, and Alec knows that he's right, and his umbrage that Clooney would weigh in at Clooney or others is not surprising, but it's wrong. Now, again, he says someone is responsible, like someone told him not to check the weapon or dry fire a gun when he was young. There's this sort of ethereal someone out there that he's trying to deflect guilt to when he's guilty. Now, all the other stuff about why was there live rounds on that, that's ancillary. Those are accessory facts that may take on criminal aspects. I don't know about that. All I do know is he was holding the weapon. He pointed it at the cinematographer, and he discharged the weapon without having cleared it.
Andrew Branca, who, of course, is the law of self-defense expert and that we've been certainly hearing a lot from recently, but the listeners to this program.
He's the best.
He's wonderful. The best. He says involuntary manslaughter. That's what's going on here. How is it that he is not arrested yet?
Well, as Andrew said, there's no actor freebie on a movie set under state law. So that's the legal question, as Andrew says, is basically open and shut. A slam dunk case. The political question of whether the Santa Fe prosecutor chooses to go forward with this, that's a separate issue. That's a political question, and I don't have the answer to that. I'm not in her head. My motivation is that this never happens again. This never should have happened in the first place, and that it never ever happens again, and that armorers don't get maligned because it's not the armorer's fault that Alec pointed the weapon and pulled the trigger. It's not the armorer's fault that this happened. And I don't want that whole class of workers, great workers throughout the industry, to be harmed by this. Basically, they're trying to put these people out of business. If you have a fake gun and replica guns and non-guns on set only, that puts a whole class of these great workers out of business. A lot of these people are former military. A lot of them are former law enforcement. And they're great guys. And they do nothing but the best work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that Alec violated the protocols, and the weapons handler, armorer, he's pointing the finger. That's probably who is that this person. And if you notice in the media, when that first happened, they tried to pull a Lewinsky on her. I thought that James Carville was behind the scenes there doing damage control. They tried to drag this poor armorer through the mud, like, drag a dollar bill through a trailer park and you got to see what you get.
You so That's totally get of, that. You got that.
Yeah. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. Feel terrible for this woman. I don't know her, but I feel terrible for her. This is just an outrage. And for him to go on preening on this show, I was shocked also when he invoked Spielberg and Cruise. What the hell is he doing bringing up Spielberg and Cruise?
You know, I missed that. I missed that part of it.
Oh, yeah, they were talking about budgets and low budget. These things are on low budget films.
Oh, yeah.
They said, well, even on big budget films, as Spielberg or Cruise would do, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Bunch of BS.
A lot of misdirection in that interview. Adam Baldwin, thank you so much for coming on KTTH and explaining it to people. I really appreciate you being so generous with your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Victoria. He confessed.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Okay, well, there you go. Adam Baldwin called it. called the ball there. Wow. Back in a minute. Let's check traffic.